Medrash Rabbah tells us in the very beginning of this week's parsha, Heviani al beis hayayim, b'shal sheniglah kadosh baruch hu al har Sinai, yardu imo chaf beis rivavo shel malachim. When kadosh baruch hu came down on har Sinai, 22,000 angels accompanied him. Shenemar rachev elokim. And all of the angels, when they came down, the 22,000 angels, they came down with them were degalim, degalim. Shenema dagumir vava. Kaven shiroo son Yisrael. Shema suyim degalim, degalim. When Klal Yisrael saw that they were degalim, degalim, Hischilu misavim l'degalim. The Jews were misaveh for degalim. Amru halavai kach anu nasim degalim kimosa. Said the Jews, halavai, that we could have degalim like the angels. If only we could have flags, degalim, banners like the angels. What does this medrash mean? What does it mean that the angels had the golem? Why did Klal Yisrael desire the golem of the angels? So on the most basic level, what does a flag represent? A flag represents a role, a mission. When you show up and you have your flag, you have your emblem, and you walk up, you're not just some guy who walked in off the street. But you have something to rally around. You have something greater that you're a part of. You have a mission. A flag represents a mission, a goal. Angels also represent missions and goals. We know that a malach is a shliach. It's a messenger. He has a role. He has a job. Angels are created to do a job and then they cease to exist, because they were created to do a specific mission. When Klal Yisrael wanted degalim, they wanted the degalim of the angels. What it means is that we desired a mission. The Gemara Nida says, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that when a child comes into the world, Bam Malach V'Socho Al Piv, a malach comes and he hits him. And he makes him forget all of his Torah, that we know. Ve'enu yotze misham. But the rest of the Gemara we might not be as familiar with. The Gemara continues there in Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis and says that the angel doesn't leave until he's mashbia the baby. What does it mean that he's mashbia the baby? He makes the baby take an oath? What's the oath? Soloveitchik, in an essay, notes that a shvua, an oath, in Torah, often accompanies a mission. Avram says, Simna yotcha tachas yirechi, when Avram is giving Eliezer a mission to find a wife for Yitzchak. So Avram says, wait, take a shvua. A shvua is the initiation of a mission. And that, the Rav says, is the pshat in the Gemara, that the angel comes to a baby, and he's mashbia him. Be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha. What does it mean he's being mashbia and take an oath? It means that the malach gives every baby a mission. Something to accomplish in this world. Rav Tzadok takes this one step further in our parsha, and he says it's not just that the Jews who saw the angels with their flags, the angels whose essence is mission, with their flags that represent mission, they didn't just see that and want a mission, but they wanted a specific mission. Gemara Mishnah tells us, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. A person has a chiyuv to say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. What this means is not that we're supposed to be egotistical or self-centered. What it means is we're supposed to have a recognition that I have a unique role to play in this world, something that nobody else can do. And I know that sounds like a tagline, it sounds like a saying, an expression, like a fortune cookie fortune, that everyone has their own mission. But it's true, it's MS. Rav Kook famously explains, E'ad shelo notzarti eini kedai, famous idea that until I was created, so there would be no purpose for me. I needed to be created in 1994? I needed to be created in 1994 in order to be able to do what I need to do. If I was created in 1950, 1970, 1980, I would be worthless. And when we are there standing there on Yom Kippur and we say, Achshav shenotzarti kilo lo notzarti, we're looking back on our lives and saying, what have I accomplished so far? I was created at a specific time. Hashem put you in your family. He put you in this yeshiva. He put you in this room with these roommates. He put you in every situation you find yourself in because you have a mission to do there. We're also judged if we do our mission properly. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that we pass before Hashem in judgment, kibnei maron. And there are different pshatim of what that means, kibnei maron. One of the pshatim are like sheep. We pass like sheep in a flock. But there's another pshat there that b'nei Marom. Marom was an ascent. There was a certain mountain, hill, that was known at the time. And there was an ascent called the Ascent of Marom. And you think, image to yourself, like a thin, winding path that goes around a mountain. And only one can pass at a time. And we're judged like that ascent. That each one of us is judged as an individual. Did you fulfill the mission that you were sent to do? Klal Yisrael, when Torah was given to them, they realized that Torah imbues us with a koach to fulfill a mission. You've been in yeshiva now for many months. And the Torah that you've learned creates a tremendous achrayus on you. Because with that Torah, you were given a mission. And like Klal Yisrael so many years ago, that saw the flag, saw the angels, and said, we want to step up and take that challenge. We want a mission. We want to be able to take the Torah and use it and bring it out to the world. So we all have that mission. You know, a flag represents something else as well. A flag represents a heritage. It represents a tradition. You know, like the House of Windsor, and they have their coat of arms, which is their tradition. You see a flag of a country. So the flag represents something. A tradition, a heritage. It instills a certain sense of pride. There's another medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni that says that the reason that we were zocha to Matan Torah is because of our yichus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out our yichus, our book of yichus. He saw the avos, he saw what they had done, and through this we were zocha to Torah. We, all of us here, have a tremendous mesorah. We have rebbeim. We have a Rebbeim's Rebbeim. We have Rabbi Kiva Eger. We have a Chassam Sofer. We have a Ketzos. We have a Nesivus. We have a Rashi. We have a Ramban. This form that you sit and pour over every day. And you're sitting here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, in 2014. And in 1920, your great-grandfather might have been sitting, or your grandfather might have been sitting in Poland, sitting over the same exact daf, sukkah, daf, chesed aleph. And in 1720, somewhere in the middle of Europe somewhere, you could have had a great-great-grandfather sitting over that same Gemara. And we go back to the Rishonim. And they were sitting over the same Gemara that you're learning. The same daf, the same questions. They were reading through the Gemara, through the Mishnah. They were asking the same questions you were asking. You're connected to something that's so great. Something that's so, the tradition of it. The heritage is not something that was created 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for hundreds of years. A great tradition, something that has survived the winds of time. All of the different isms and all of the different things that have come into the world and have tried to convince people, this is the truth, this is the truth. We are bearers of the original truth. And it's something that we have passed on from generation to generation for thousands of years. Sifrei Torah found in different parts of the world have the same psukim. They come from one source. And the Medrash Rabbah says that after we got the Degalim and we took pride in it, other nations can't try to seduce us, to throw away our tradition for something new. And they said, and the Medrash says, come, we'll make you dukes. We'll give you high-paying jobs. We'll make you important people. Here, take this, take that, forget about the tradition that you have. And we turned to them and we said, we don't need your honors. We don't need your isms. We don't need your pride, because we have our flag. And we looked up at that flag, at that Degel, and we took pride in that Degel. And I think it's a question we have to ask ourselves. How much pride do we take in our Degel? How proud are we to be B'nai Torah? Who are our heroes? What do we celebrate? Do we know the name of the shortstop, the backup shortstop on the Yankees? We don't even know the name of the person who wrote the Ketzos. You know all the pitchers for the Mets, and yet you don't know who wrote the Nesivos? The Yankees were created a couple of years ago. The Nesivos is one of the greatest works of time. And it's yours. It's your great-great-great-grandfather. And your great-grandfather studied it, and your grandfather studied it. And we've been studying it for hundreds of years. You don't even know who wrote it? Trust me, if your great-great-grandfather was Shakespeare, so you would know all of Shakespeare's plays, because you take tremendous pride in it. If your grandfather was a starting pitcher for the Yankees, you'd have his jersey, and you'd have his number, and you'd have all of his stats. You'd take great pride in it. Do we take great pride in the amazing tradition that we have? We get excited when the new iPhone comes out. What about when the new Noda B'Yehuda comes out? The new printing of the Noda B'Yehuda. Ugh! Is that what we get excited about? Or we get excited because the iPhone 7.2 came out with a cloud and WhatsApp already installed in it. That's what we get excited about? You had a poster of LeBron in your bedroom. Why not the Chassam Sofer? Why not the Chassam Sofer? Why LeBron? Who are our heroes? I had Michael Jordan growing up in my bedroom doing a dunk. I want to be like Mike. Why don't I want to be like Rashi? Like the Rambam? But it's not just about posters. It's not just. It's much, much more about pride. Do we take pride in being B'nai Torah? Now the summer's coming. We're going to be in different settings, whether it's family, sometimes family that isn't yet as dedicated to Torah and mitzvot that as we are. Maybe we're going to be in a work setting and we're going to be around people who aren't Jewish and don't know what so much about Judaism is. Maybe we're going to be in camp. We're going to be around campers that don't yet appreciate the beauty and the rich heritage of Judaism. And how are we going to act? Are we going to be shy about our dedication to Torah, or are we going to be proud? You know, if something crazy happens to you, if some like wild story, you meet somebody famous, so you walk around like all the time telling people all the stories about how you met this person, you met that person. And that's your pride, that's your glory. Are you going to walk around being proud that you learned Maseches Sukkah this year? Is that going to show on your face? Are people going to know, oh, he's the guy who learned Maseches Sukkah? Now, this is a little bit extreme, this example. But wherever you are you going to be proud of the fact that you spent a year in yeshiva? You going to be proud of the fact that you're a Ben Torah? I remember when I was in 12th grade. So we had the New Jersey State Finals for debate. Me and my partner went to the New Jersey State Finals in debating. So we were at a college campus in the middle of New Jersey, and we were the only two from people there. and we're sitting down for lunch, as the debate is, we already had the debates in the morning, and then there are going to be more debates in the afternoon, and I think we are discussing like something about foreign policy with the People's Republic of China. Yeah, exciting. So we're sitting there at lunch, and we're about to start lunch, and they're serving lunch to everyone, and I'm already feeling a little bit uncomfortable, the fact that they brought me like my three-times wrapped, porta lunch, and they bring it in front of me, and sure enough, there's some bread there, so I have to go wash. So I, where, you know, there's no washing stations in these places, so I have to go find a cup, and I go to the bathroom, and I wash my hands, and then obviously I'm terrified of the fact that someone's going to try to talk to me while I'm on my way back to my seat, and I'm going to start going like I'm not going to be able to talk. So I quickly like chart out in the room how I can get back to my seat without banging into anybody, and I'm walking here, and I get back to my seat, and I quickly, you know, take a little piece of bread and eat the bread, and then I start talking with everyone. And we're all sitting there, and we're all talking, and across the table from me, at my table, where there's like seven of us sitting around schmoozing, me, my partner, and like six or seven other people who are not Jewish, the Indian guy sitting across from me is in the middle of conversation. He says, "Excuse me, guys, I just need to say a benediction." And he's like, "Mom." And he was doing like a whole like prayer service there at the table. Everyone's fine with it. And then he finishes and he continues the conversation. And I am sitting there feeling like such an idiot. Like I am embarrassed to make hamotzi, the MS, the truth. I mean, I'm embarrassed of it. And this Indian guy is sitting there praying to Buddha, whoever he's praying to, over his tuna fish sandwich. But it's something that I think we struggle with. The pride. To be proud of who we are, of what we have. Rav Twersky has quoted the Gemara that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So I heard from Rav Twersky, so the Gemara there says that Hashem wears tefillin, just like we wear tefillin. What does our tefillin say in it? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin say in it? Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. We're praising Him, He's praising us. So you see that there's a reciprocity here. That we're turning towards Him and He's turning towards us. And what is His tefillin doing? He's taking pride in us, like a parent takes pride in his children's accomplishments. Hashem is saying, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. And what is our tefillin then saying? Our tefillin is supposed to be taking pride in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are supposed to take pride in the fact that we are the ambassadors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We bring the greatest gift ever to the world. We bring it into the world. We represent it. If you worked for a chash of a company, Apple, Google, so you wear the shirt and you're proud of it and you tell people, by the way, I work in Google. Thank you. You told me three times already. You know, I work in Google. You wear your Google shirt. You have it on the side of your car. You have Google sweatshirts if you went to Harvard, right? So you have your Harvard University sweatshirt that you wear all the time. Why? Because you're proud of the association with something great. So if you're proud of the association of something great, so your tzitzit shouldn't be embarrassing. Your kippah shouldn't be embarrassing. Because your kippah is your logo. It's your insignia of being connected to the greatest company that ever was and ever will be. And there's nothing to be ashamed of that. We need to be proud of who we are. Not just that we're Jews, but that we're B'nai Torah, that we're B'nai Yeshiva, that when we make a bracha, we do it with kavana, that we bench, we do it with kavana. We don't try to hide just to be normal. I'm not saying that we should be weird and that we should try to stand out and be ostentatious and be a show-off. Obviously not. But we can't be embarrassed about being B'nai Torah. David HaMelech says, "Vadabra ba'idosecha neged malachim lo'evosh." David HaMelech says about himself in Tehillim that he was an ambassador. He was a minister. He spoke with kings. He was a king of a country. He went to the United Nations, League of Nations. He went to OPEC, and he went to all the different meetings. OPEC. He went to all the different meetings, and he represented the Jewish nation. And he met with this king, and he met with that king, and he met with this ambassador, and he met with this prime minister, Velo Evosh. And his calling card was Velo Evosh, and I wasn't embarrassed. Hashem should help all of us, that we should connect to the Degolim, We should look at our flag. We should be proud of our flag. Realize that we have a mission in this world. And we shouldn't be embarrassed, but instead we should hold our flag high. We should be proud of the fact that we're B'nai Torah. And hopefully through this, we will bring the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the message of Torah and Mitzvot to the rest of the world. And through that, we should be zocha to a bias goal tzedek and heir of Yameinu. Amen. Have a good Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. I'm saying, you know my
Oh, yeah.
A person who walked